genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
So hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. You'll want to keep that telephone number handy because after the first 20 minutes, we're going to have a giveaway for McConnell's Ice Cream right here, and you'll call in on that number. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is improving over the status quo. Each of my three guests will explain to us how we can improve over what already exists. My first guest helped turn the airline industry on its ear. He served as CEO of Southwest Airlines from 1978 to 1981 during the early years of deregulation. He was also a key figure in the federal antitrust case against Robert Crandall, then president of American Airlines. My second guest will explain changes over the next 50 years regarding frequencies, resonance, and vibrations, each of which will impact our power sources, cure illnesses, even impact our health, happiness, and love. My third guest will discuss his proven conscious mind treatment system that delivers guaranteed results in business and in private life. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Howard Putnam, was president and CEO of Southwest Airlines from August 1978 to 1981. Prior to that, he worked in the airline industries for Capital Airlines, which was later acquired by United. Howard left Southwest Airlines to work for the ailing Braniff Airline, where he worked until its demise in 1982. It was at Braniff where Howard was approached by Robert Crandall to raise fares. Crandall agreed that if Braniff raised its fares, then American Airlines would follow suit. That conversation was the basis for the government's antitrust action against Robert Crandall and American Airlines. Welcome to the show, Howard. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Billy.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that. Thank you so much for being our guest. Airline industry has always fascinated me on any number of levels as a flyer, as a traveler, and also as an investor. But I want to go back to when you took over with Southwest Airlines, 1978. That was the first year of deregulation in the airline industry. Explain what the industry was like up to that point and how deregulation changed it.
Yeah, deregulation happened in December of 1978. And I went to Southwest 3 months before that, in August of 78. And I had been the chief marketing officer for United Airlines prior to that in Chicago. So under regulation, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't change fares without approval from the Civil Aeronautics Board. You couldn't fly to other destinations without approval from the Civil Aeronautics Board. It was just totally fencing you in, and it was very hard to make yourself differentiated from the next guy. So when I went down to interview with Herb Kelleher, who was the co-founder of Southwest, we decided, you know, we could continue to play the game, or we could change the way the game is played. And you talked about improving over the status quo. I guess that's what we were doing by changing the way the game is played. So Southwest was just a little itty-bitty airline then. Had 12 airplanes, 1,000 employees, only flew within the state of Texas until deregulation came. And then we had a great team of people, and that's what really, really made the difference. And we wrote the vision, about eight of us did, and it was only 52 words long. And as we did that exercise, we figured out what business we were really in. We weren't an airline. We were in mass transportation. And let's make the pie bigger. Let's increase the size of the market and get people out of the automobiles and get them out of the living room and keep the fares comparable to automobiles or buses and that's going to be our niche. And 30 years later, that's what they're still doing.
Wow, that is fantastic. We're talking to Howard, everybody. And Howard, let me ask you this. I wanted to dive in a little bit further on that. So you said that the credo for Southwest Airlines was 52 words long. What was the credo that you came up with? In other words, what made Southwest Airlines such a rebel among the airline industry?
The credo was not too strategic. It was sort of tactical. As one college professor told me, it's not very well written. And I said, well, that's because I wrote it. But it worked. And what it said was that Southwest Airlines will have simplicity, high productivity, low costs, low fares, no first class, no meals, no garment bag racks, no seat assignments. We're going to make this just simple as we can and only one kind of airplane, and so people can afford to fly. And all these years later, whenever Southwest goes into a new city or a new market, it's what's now known as the Southwest effect. And they will double the size of the market, the number of people that fly, usually within 18 to 24 months when they go into a new market.
Wow, fantastic. Believe it or not, Howard Putnam, we have a caller. Jim Cathcart is calling in, wants to ask a question. Jim, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, welcome to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. What question do you have for Howard Putnam?
Well, thank you. I love your show and Howard Putnam as well. Howard, I have a copy of your book, Winds of Turbulence. Is that the proper phrasing of the title?
Yes, sir.
I haven't read it in a couple of years, and I need to reread that book. It's fun hearing your voice on the radio. Welcome to Ventura County.
Thanks, Jim. Good to hear from you.
You bet.
Jim, do you have a question for him?
Well, no, just the question is that book still available? Can people still get it?
They can get it through my website at howardputnam.com.
Dynamite.
Jim, thank you so much for being a loyal listener, and thank you for the question.
You're welcome. See ya.
Pleasure. Talk to you down the road. Howard, Jim Cathcart's a great guy. Love talking with him, and a personal friend of yours as well. So that's wonderful that you made that connection. I want to come back to the airline industry, if we can, for just a minute, because I want to look at this from an investor's point of view. Clearly, Southwest has shaken up the airline industry. But if you look at commercial air travel as a whole, from the beginning of time in the 1940s when commercial air travel began, the airline industry as a whole has never made a profit. Yeah, there have been good years, but they've been offset by some awfully bad years as well. Why can't commercial air travel as an industry make a profit?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the other side of it is that Southwest has made money now 38 years in a row.
Wow.
Which is a record in any kind of business, I would think.
Yeah.
But the large airlines, they're referred to as the legacy airlines, have always made it so complex. They have several different kinds of airplanes. They have 747s to fly across the Pacific and the Atlantic. They have 767s for North to South America. And I looked at when Delta was buying Northwest, between the two airlines at that point 2 years ago, they had 13 different kinds of airplanes.
Wow.
Now, they have simplified it down some since then. But our son flies for U.S. Air, flies Airbuses out of Charlotte. I think U.S. Air has 6 different kinds of airplanes. So the bigger the airplane, the more the pilots get paid. So when somebody retires on the biggest airplane, everybody goes up the food chain and has to be retrained, which costs you about $40,000 to retrain a pilot. Southwest doesn't have that. Every pilot can fly every 737. There's over 520 737s now. Every pilot can fly every airplane without being retrained. Every flight attendant is qualified on every airplane, doesn't have to be retrained. So simplicity is a big part of it. Two is productivity. Southwest has always, we wouldn't buy an airplane unless we knew we could fly it 11 to 12 hours a day and be profitable within 60 days. Other airlines were flying their airplanes 8 and 9 hours, so we had a 35% advantage right there. Fares were simple, not complex, and it just the hub. We didn't really use big hubs; we called it linear hubbing, as opposed to the gigantic hub in L.A. or Dallas-Fort Worth or Atlanta, where 200 and 300 airplanes arrive and then 200 or 300 airplanes leave. So they just have a very expensive way of doing business. And Southwest has always kept it simple.
Well, I love the simplicity. Of course, we're talking to Howard Putnam, everybody, former CEO of Southwest Airlines. The hub and spoke model, particularly back in 1978 when deregulation first came into play, that was the model that all the airlines gravitated to. So you had New York was a hub, Chicago was a hub, at that time St. Louis was a hub, and Dallas-Fort Worth was a hub. You had all these hubs, planes, as you say, flew in, flew out. Why is it, now, even Southwest has certain airports that get more air traffic than others. I don't know if you would qualify them as a hub. But what was the thinking behind the hub and spoke, and why was your system better?
Well, we just kept it simple. If you hub and spoke, you've got to have maybe 50 gates in an airport. And then those gates are empty when all those airplanes leave. Our theory was we'll keep the airplanes on the ground for only 10 minutes in those days. They're about 20. No. So if you can use a gate three times in 1 hour and just keep them flowing through all the time, you may only need 10 gates instead of 50. And there's a tremendous expense in facilities at large airports. So when we went interstate, our first segment that we picked for deregulation, everybody laughed at. And we picked Dallas Love Field to New Orleans. Why? Because there was an interstate system of automobiles going back and forth between Texas and Louisiana, and you want people to get them out of the automobile. I went down to see the airport manager in New Orleans, and I said, I need a gate. He said, we don't have any gates available. I said, sir, it's deregulation. The federal rules say you have to give a new entrant a gate. I only need one gate. He said, how many flights are you going to put in here a day? I said, 14. Seven out of Dallas, seven out of Houston. You're going to do that with one gate? He said, Eastern Airlines has four gates, and they only have six flights a day. And I said, do you have a problem? And we did. We finally got one gate, and we ran 14 flights a day out of one gate. Pretty simple.
That's amazing. We're talking to Howard Putnam, everybody, former CEO of Southwest Airlines, also the author of the book, The Winds of Turbulence, A CEO's Reflections on Surviving and Thriving in the Cutting Edge of Corporate Crisis. Now, coming out of all of this, Howard, what did you learn coming out of the airline industry's lessons that you can impart to people both in business and in private life?
Have a very clear, succinct vision. Two, figure out what business you're really in, as in our case, mass transportation. Three, develop a culture that supports whatever your value proposition is, whatever kind of business you're in. And we always said at Southwest, we hired attitudes, we developed the skills. Hire attitudes that fit your culture and then develop their skills. You know, there's too much focus on hiring the resume, where did they go to school, etc. We hired attitudes, and then we'll train them. And today, they got 37,000 employees, and they're still using the same philosophy as to how they hire people as we did 30 years ago. So focus on your people, and in the case of Southwest, they are different. They're still having fun, and they're still creating a value proposition that people say, I'm willing to go without all the other frills just in order to get a safe, simple, low-priced flight.
Gotcha. Howard Putnam, let me ask you, why did you make the move from Southwest to then-troubled Braniff Airlines and eventually went out of business? Looking back on that, what did you learn from your experiences making that transition and then with the demise of Braniff?
Well, it was a bad decision. I couldn't have gone to start with. The due diligence that we did before accepting the position to try to save the company was incorrect. There was some accounting practices and all that weren't as transparent as they should be. So fortunately, I took my CFO with me, Phil Guthrie, when we went as a team. But we thought we had a 50% chance of saving the company, and it was about three times as large as Southwest at that time, and three times larger than Southwest. And it was a challenge. We didn't go for the money. But after we got there, we found out we'd been had. We only had 10 days of cash.
Oh, my.
There was $175 million less in cash than the due diligence that we went through. So I learned crisis management in a hurry. How do you focus and try to keep a billion-dollar company going with 10,000 employees flying to nine countries and you got 10 days of cash? So it was a character-building experience.
To say the least. We're talking to Howard Putnam, everybody, former CEO of Southwest Airlines, author of the book Winds of Turbulence. Howard, if people want to learn more, if they've been intrigued by what they've heard here, where would you direct them to go?
They can go to two different websites. One, you can go to howardputnam.com, or you can go to speakersoffice.com, which is a management firm in Carlsbad, not too far away from you, that manages the speaking for many of us, including Jim Cathcart, who called in a while ago. So speakersoffice.com or howardputnam.com, either one.
Howard Putnam, that's spelled P-U-T-N-A-M.com, Howard. Howard, it has been a delight talking with you about the early days of Southwest Airlines after deregulation. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.